Hello, I'm Adrian Iosifescu, your host of the History of the Romanian Jews podcast, and this is episode 27, where we'll be discussing the Romanian Jewish gang that pulled off the most famous bank robbery in the history of communism. By the way, you just listened to the melody First Bank Robbery by James Horner from the movie The Lady in Red. A link to the full song is provided in the episode notes. In the morning of July 29, 1959, a payday in Bucharest, a car belonging to the Romanian National Bank, which was transporting 1,686,000 lei, the Romanian currency, stopped on Avenue Giulești in front of the local branch of the National Bank. Out of nowhere, a taxi cab appeared, stopped by the bank's car, and four men and a woman masked got out and, brandishing guns, immobilized the bank's car driver and his companion and took two large bags of money from the bank's car, quickly leaving the area by same taxi. All this happened in a flash, a few tenths of seconds. The taxi then went up on Calea Giulești, past the bridge Jurel, and stopped close to an open field by the bridge for the robbers to evaluate what was in the two money bags they took. They decided to abandon the small banknotes. A child observed them and alerted his mother and some locals, who later will find the dropped banknotes in the amount of 138,000 lei. The five left the area and got to the Cotroceni neighborhood, where they abandoned the taxi on Dr. Teohari Street. The taxi is later found to contain another substantial amount of money, 213,000 lei. After they abandoned the taxi, the five individuals took the tram. Arriving at one's residence, they shared the money, each receiving only 25,000 lei each, after which they hid the rest of the money and their weapons. To understand the value of this robbery, please keep in mind that an average monthly salary in Bucharest in 1959 was about 600 lei. The stolen amount was the equivalent of over $250,000, a huge amount for that time. The Romanian police and the security services were immediately alerted. The Minister of the Interior, Alexandru Draghici, was actively involved in the investigation. The Communist Party secretary, the country leader, Gheorghe Gheorghiu Dej, asked for a daily report of the investigation. The Soviet counselors to the Romanian leadership were immediately mobilized. The investigation followed many tracks. The police carefully watched restaurants, luxury stores, jewelry stores for people spending money. Informants were asked if they know anything about the robbery. Well-known gangsters in prison were interviewed. Nothing conclusive was discovered in the first couple of weeks after the robbery. The investigation was led by Colonel Cristache Zambetti, the director of counterintelligence in the Securitate. The case file recorded in the archives under the name of Ioanid Case contained 27 volumes, which totals to approximately 10,000 pages. Listening to telephone calls, working with informants, and some mistakes made by gang members led to the eventual identification of the perpetrators. Of great value was the testimony of the child in the field, Jurel, and the taxi driver whose car was used in the robbery, allowing the making of Robert portraits of the gang members. It was just a matter of time. On September 18th, 6 weeks after the robbery, they were arrested. Almost the entire amount was recovered, as well as the weapons used. The interrogations and confrontations took almost 2 months and were conducted by the infamous security officer Gheorghe Enoiu. And on November 12, the robbery file was closed. 2 days later, on November 14, the file was sent to the military tribunal where the gang members were to be tried. On November 23, the trial was held behind closed doors. The sentence was given on the same day. All the men in the group present at the robbery received the death penalty. The woman, because she had two children, was sentenced to life imprisonment. On November 24th, their appeal for pardons was rejected. The four men were executed on February 18, 1960 at the Jilava prison. The woman from the group, as I said, was sentenced to life imprisonment, sentence later commuted to 25 years in prison. In 1964, the woman was amnestied and allowed to emigrate to Israel in 1970, where she died in 1977. Soon after their capture, because the fact seems so incredible for a communist country, the Securitate made a propaganda movie about the robbery called Reconstruction, directed by Virgil Calotescu, in which the condemned actually play their own roles and they told in detail how they did it. Many assume that the six members of the gang were lured by the authorities to act in the movie and confess their crimes in order to have their sentences reduced. However, this was not the case. The members' Jewish identities were emphasized exhaustively. Portrayed as godly decadent, they were shown enjoying a life of luxury and lavish spending that was simply inconceivable in Romania at the time. The robbery was presented as nefarious Jews were robbing Romanian people. Like the Soviets, the Romanian government succeeded in cultivating the image of the Jew as ruthless cosmopolitan, the hated enemy of the proletariat and of Romania. The documentary, considered for internal use only, was presented immediately to 700 party activists and trusted journalists. To better understand the context of this robbery, let's take a quick look at the political situation in Romania in 1959. The Jews of Romania were growing disillusioned with communism. Interwar membership rolls for the Communist Party reveals that as many as 30% of its members were non-ethnic Romanians, but Hungarians, Bulgarians, and Jews. Anna Pauker, born Hanna Rabinson, was the unofficial leader of the Communist Party in Romania after the war and served as a foreign minister in the late 1940s and early 1950s. Yet, if there was any hope left that the Romanian People's Republic would be free of the divisive class and ethnic conflicts of its past, that wish died with the nationalistic party purges of the 1950s. Following Stalin's anti-Semitic purges, Gheorghe Gheorghiu Dej sought permission from the Soviets to purge the party of foreign persons, like Pauker. She was arrested in 1953, after a carefully devised political witch hunt, and was accused of supporting international Zionism and conducting espionage for the enemy America. Fearing her reinstallation after Khrushchev's ascension to power in the Soviet Union, Gheorghe Gheorghiu Dej redirected his persecution campaign to focus on her Stalinist excesses. Pauker was forced to politically exile herself from the party in 1956. In the summer of 1958, the Red Army left Romania. Gheorghe Gheorghiu Dej, wanting to show the Soviet Union that he was able to control the country without the Red Army, started a wave of repressions targeting especially Jewish party members to be marginalized. The author of the robbery were not gangsters. They were not some notorious felons. They had no criminal records. All of them were Jewish. After the Second World War, each one had a career in the communist apparatus. When the coup took place, they were still young people between 31 and 42 years old. All were intelligent people and highly trained. Two academics, two journalists, a senior aviation engineer, and a police lieutenant colonel. They were not only part of the Jewish Romanian intelligentsia, but also among the pioneers of the pre-1948 communist movement. All six were official party members in 1948, at a time when the party membership was less than 1,000. For them, as well as for many other Jews in the Eastern Bloc, communism held the key to absolution, a society where their Jewish identity would finally be accepted. With the mass purges of the Communist Party, however, it is clear that they had been duped. A new Romania would be built, but only for Romanians. the group was well aware of the political climate around them. They knew that Jews would remain, as they had for hundreds of years in the Kingdom of Romania, as other. After a period of great jobs and entitlements, important roles in the party and in the overall country management, they were pushed to the edge society because they were Jewish communists. Let's look at the drama actors one by one. Alexandru Ioanid was a member of the Communist Party. Born in 1920, he was at the time of a robbery an ex-lieutenant colonel of police. He was married to the sister of Alexandru Drăghici's wife, Marta Kisco. Alexandru Drăghici was then the powerful Minister of the Interior. Alexandru Ioanid had occupied the positions of head of the department judicial branch of the police until May 1959, when he was dismissed and forced to retire. His real name was Leibovici. Paul Ioanid, born in March 1923, the younger brother of Alexandru Ioanid, was also an important figure in the party nomenclature. He was originally an engineer, an expert in aviation issues, and an airplane pilot. He studied in Moscow, where he took his doctorate at the beginning of 1950s, and was known for his press and radio commentary on first Soviet launches into space. He worked as a teacher, professor of ballistics at the military academy, being head of the department. Paul Ioanid was the Romanian representative in the secret Soviet program space. Igor Sevianu was trained as an aviation engineer but worked at the head of the Romanian National Tourism until he was dismissed in 1957. He was a Communist Party member from before the war. His real name was Igor Hershkovich. He was married to Monica Sevianu and they had two children, but without his job, they lived from Monica's tutoring efforts. Monica Sevianu worked as a journalist at the Romanian radio, but she was let go in 1957 because of lack of a college degree. She had been previously married and lived for several years in Israel. She was a member of the Communist Party. Sasha Mushat, real name Glastein Abrasa, was born in August 1924 and was a member of the Communist Party when the party was still illegal. He was a close friend of Emil Bodnaraș, one of the Romanian communist leaders, being a cousin of Bodnaraș's wife Florica. In 1948, it was sent to the West as a spy, but was quickly exposed in Paris and expelled. He became associate professor at the Faculty of History of the University of Bucharest, but fired in 1958 because he didn't have a PhD. Haralambie Obedanu, real name Lazarovich, was a journalist at Scânteia, the communist main newspaper, and dean of the Faculty of Journalism. In 1958, he was replaced as dean. He was a member of the Communist Party. He was the only defendant who was not present at the scene of robbery. Another important actor in this drama was the security officer Gheorghe Enoiu, who joined the Communist Party after the Soviets imposed the government of Petru Groza at the end of the Second World War. In 1949, Enoiu joined the newly created Securitate. Initially, he had worked as a humble printer, but in short time, thanks to his communist connections, he became an officer investigator, specialized in interrogations. He got the reputation of a butcher due to the manner he conducted his interrogations without mercy or scruples. During the period of 1963-67, he even held the position of head of the Criminal Investigations Directorate. In 1968, he was investigated by a party commission whose mission was to explore irregularities produced during the time of Gheorghe Gheorghiu Dej and was forced to retire, being classified as a brute by the investigative committee. However, at the end of 1968, he rejoined the Securitate, the same criminal investigation department where he worked until 1989. The Romanian public was fascinated with this improbable robbery, so other movies were made trying to unravel its mysteries. In 1998, Irene Lustig, a graduate of Harvard Film School, shot a documentary film that came out in 2002, also entitled Reconstruction. The film was an effort to understand her grandmother's life, Irene being Monica Savianu's granddaughter. In the film, she returns to Bucharest to reassemble the pieces of her family's bizarre, dark history. The Romanian filmmaker Alexandru Solomon then tells the story again in the 2004 documentary Marele Jaf Comunist, The Great Communist Robbery. In contrast to the 1960s original, his documentary is intended to show everything on filling itself up with faces, statements, and buildings, not to give a definitive meaning to the affair, but rather in order to calculate its myriad meanings. He speculates that at the time of the trial, one could read a revelation on their faces. Nae Caranfils, Closer to the Moon, is a 2014 Romanian movie, a fictional take on the Eastern Bloc's most famous bank heist. In it, the specter of anti-Semitic communism always lurks about, but the story comes across much more as a flashy middle-age crisis set in a picturesque Bucharest, one lit by a CGI moon and inhabited by people who seem to always have the headlights on them. Caranfil is the kind of director that fills his film with everything that he's in love with. Divas like Vera Farminga as Alice, good criminals, bad cops, juvenile love, boyish charm, and finally, the figure of his own father. This robbery raised many questions, as such a crime would not make sense in the communist Romania. Why would some intellectuals from the ranks of the communist nomenclature rob a bank, and what would they do with the money they could not spend anyway without getting caught in the end? There were several unusual things about the story in its most common version. Beyond accusations based on various ideological guidelines, no reasons for the alleged robbery or for the Ioanid group to have perpetrated it were ever given. During the trial, the six allegedly said that the money was intended for the Zionist movement and helping Jews, but there are rumors that they were forced by the authorities to say this. One thesis says that the six invented this legend in the hope of obtaining help from Israel or from the international Jewish movement. Did they want to create a good image for themselves, to pass as heroes of the Zionist movement? Hard to say. It is true that they gave small amounts of money to Jews who had submitted applications to emigrate. The stolen sum was in lei, the Romanian currency, which at that time could not be exchanged for hard currency anywhere in the world. Other voices of the time said that Alexandru Ioanid was targeted by the authorities because he wanted to divorce his wife, who, as I said, was a sister of the Minister of the Interior, Alexandru Dărghici. The latter allegedly told Alexandru Ioanid that he would destroy him if he divorced his sister. Another thesis claims that the holdup did not take place, that it was a stage plot by the Securitate. The regime needed a pretext for the anti-Semitic campaign and the creation of an atmosphere of intimidation and fear, especially in intellectual and professional circles. Paradoxically, it aimed to reduce the number of Jews who applied to leave Romania. Also, according to other rumors, the six became inconvenient for the system and were forced by the Securitate to steal the two bags of money in order to eliminate them. During many months preceding the alleged heist, at least one of the members, Obedeanu, was aware of being followed and of being constantly watched through binoculars by the Securitate from the building across the street from his apartment. Moreover, Also, for months preceding July 1959, the phones of the gang members were tapped. In the aftermath of the robbery, several of the friends with whom they talked lost their jobs and positions. Based on what is known about the group members, journalists, physicists, history professor, and the security colonel, all of them were fully cognizant of the Romanian situation and the political climate at the time, another scenario seems possible. Following prolonged security surveillance of the group, which resulted in the accumulation of evidence about conversations with dissident tones, member may have been blackmailed, including threatened with harm against their families and themselves, and promised some reprieve or even permission to leave the country with their families if they went along with the staging of the robbery to serve several government and some personal purposes. In any case, the government failed to uphold its end of the bargain. As a parallel, in what was a highly unusual move for those times when nobody was allowed to leave Romania, another Jewish security officer, Ion Crișan, incidentally described as a friend of the Ioanid group, was permitted to leave the country with his family and got to Brazil around 1961, shortly after the alleged incident. This had led some to believe that he may have been the agent through whom the government communicated its promises and made them credible. In conclusion, only the opening of archives that have remained secret and new testimonies can bring some real answers to all the questions surrounding this event. The myth, the enigma of this strange case remain intact after 66 years from its occurrence. Until next episode of this podcast, please be well.